What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rivardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson, and we are now just 9 days away from the 2024 NFL Draft. That's right, guess who wore the number 9? J.J. McCarthy. We are McCarthy days away from the NFL Draft, and it just so happens to be who we're discussing in this episode is J.J. McCarthy. If you didn't know, Peter Schrager, long time on Good Morning Football with NFL Network, switched companies this offseason, but still one of the most plugged-in NFL insiders that there is. Guy doesn't really get much wrong. Every mock draft that he puts out, he's got a great hit rate on predicting the picks in the draft. And in his mock draft, his first one of the offseason, what did he have the New York Giants doing? Taking J.J. McCarthy, but not only drafting him, trading up to the number 4 overall pick to draft J.J. McCarthy. And of course, that's a controversial decision. That's a move that would be met with a lot of support and a lot of criticism if it really happened in real life. And that's what we want to discuss. What if this does happen next week during the 2024 NFL Draft? What would our reaction be? How do we feel about it? Do we think it would be a good move? Maybe what our critiques would be for it? We're just going to go ahead and discuss this Peter Schrager predicted mock draft and really talk about the possibility of the New York Giants landing J.J. McCarthy next week. But before we dive into all that, make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the channel if you're new, ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. And also, make sure to stay tuned to the channel, 20K subscriber special coming out this weekend. We can't wait to deliver that to you guys. And also, next week, tune in on the night of the NFL Draft, live reaction and analysis on the channel. But without further ado, Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? And what is your reaction to this mock draft with the Giants? It's trading up to land J.J. McCarthy.
Well, I'm doing pretty good. And look, guys, I think we've gone over this, and I'm so happy for it to be coming to an end in a couple days. But, you know, I wanted to go over this one because, Peter Schrager has a long-standing relationship with Joe Shane. So you tend to think maybe he has a little bit more insight into what he's thinking, where this team needs things, where the Giants are looking to allocate really big premium capital resources. And Peter Schrager's probably the most plugged in of anybody because he knows Joe Shane, they're friends. If anyone's going to divulge information or give him a little bit of info to share with the media world, this would be the guy to do it. However, at the same time, you could argue this would be the perfect person to set a smokescreen because everyone's like, oh, well, he definitely knows what Joe Shane is thinking. You know, let's use that information and use that kind of chemistry there to throw people off. So, you know, you could look at it both ways. And when it comes to the Giants trading up to the 4th overall, in this instance, I believe they gave up a second-round pick next year and their third-round pick this year. So, you know, you kind of look at what the value you're giving up for, that's like nothing to me. Giving up next year's 2 and this year's 3 to move up 2 spots, and for what it's worth, the Arizona Cardinals in this instance walk away with a top 2 receiver in this draft class. So like they're like, no sweat off our back, getting future draft capital and an extra pick this year, and we still land the player we wanted anyway. It's a great scenario for them. They don't have to move back out of the top 3 receiver realm. They can stay right where they want to be, get extra draft capital for free, and get the same exact player, if not 1A, 1B situation with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Neighbors. So the question is, would you want to move up and get J.J. McCarthy? It's not really about moving up. It's about who you're getting. Now, my preference is I'd rather spend a little bit more, or even a lot more, to go up to 3 to get Drake May. That's my preference. But again, you just don't know if New England's going to want to move out. So that's kind of the big conversation here. Like, you can't guarantee it. By the way, they're meeting this week with Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, everybody they're meeting this week. They're doing a gauntlet of quarterback evaluations. The consensus right now is that Jaden's going to go number 2 to the Commanders, and of course Caleb number 1 to the Bears. But number 3 is open for the taking. Number 3, nobody really knows what's going to happen here. And New England could say, well, you know, our roster just simply isn't good enough. In fact, I kind of look at the Patriots and say, they're in a slightly better spot financially than the Broncos, but you could argue that the Broncos roster is a little bit better than the Patriots. And the Broncos, if you ask their beat reporters, are like, we don't even want to draft a quarterback. Why? Because they are going to destroy any chance of developing a quarterback immediately because of how bad their roster is. The Patriots have a mediocre offensive line. They have a decent defense with upside. They have no playmakers, basically not much of a running back situation. The receivers are horrible. Their tight ends are bad. You know, like, what do you really do there? If they go with Drake May, they have to be confident they're going to be able to develop him. So, you know, if you're the Giants, you say to yourself, well, hey, Patriots, guess what? We're willing to give you our next year's first-round pick and a third-round pick this year to move up for three spots. You still walk away with a blue-chip prospect. Maybe J.J. McCarthy is there at six anyway. You might be able to walk away with a player. Or you could double down, trade back again, end up with Michael Penix and a whole slew of roster-building capital. There's an argument to make that the Patriots are actually best. Their best-case scenario would be to move back twice. Get stock up draft capital, add starting level players across the board, and then have more resources next year to go out and get the best quarterback available if they don't go quarterback this year, or BPA in 2025 when they're probably going to have a bad record anyway, and then they'll have a good draft pick and plus hours. And they're probably going to assume, well, the Giants are drafting a rookie quarterback. Hey, they're probably not going to be very good next year. That's the safe assumption for any team drafting a young quarterback, is that they're probably not going to be great. But I do think right now, Anthony, that this is a scenario where it's about the player, not the pick. What do you think about the idea of moving up to get J.J. McCarthy? I'm not the biggest J.J. fan. I think he's more of like a mid-round first round grade, but because of the upside and the tools and the traits and the projection models, people think he could be great. But thinking and projecting is a lot different than actually seeing and witnessing. We just haven't seen it witness the high volume, but when he's been called upon, he's shown up. And that's what a lot of people point toward, is the sample size of work that we do have available and that he's made the plays. You know, you guys know my opinion. I'm more on the Drake Mayer Jaden train. I'm not so much on the JJ train. I know you have a little bit of a different opinion.
It's not that I have a different opinion on that necessarily, because you're mentioning you're more on the Drake Mayer Jaden train. So am I. I would prefer those guys. But I just don't view the drop-off to be as significant as you do between those guys and J.J. McCarthy. Maybe between Drake May, but I actually kind of put it into tiers. I think we mentioned this on one of our live streams. Tune into those. We do those weekly on the channel. I mentioned that I think that Drake May is in one tier, and then in that next tier is Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. I view those guys pretty similarly, and I would be happy with either one this equal amount. And you're different. You prefer Jaden Daniels far more than you prefer J.J. McCarthy. I just prefer those guys about the same. I like Drake May more than both of them by a wide margin, however. If Drake May were to be available at number four and the Giants traded up for that, I view this as a home run. If they trade up to number four and they take J.J. McCarthy, I like it, but I do recognize that it's a risky move. And I think that J.J. McCarthy, listen, you want to talk tools and traits, you want to talk all that stuff, how about just being a pro-ready quarterback, played in a pro-style offense, drops back from under center. He knows how to play the game. He plays quarterback really well, but has he played it at a really high level before? You could argue that he has, you could argue that he hasn't, and that's where the risk comes from. This is a guy who hasn't been asked to lead a passing attack in the college level. Can he do it at the NFL level? That's the question mark, because he ran that Michigan offense and he ran it well, and he was an excellent game manager who made plays. I'm not going to discount him. You guys know that I am high on J.J. McCarthy. He made a lot of plays, but for the most part, he just made a lot of good plays and didn't make many bad plays, and that usually classifies you as a game manager. There were some games where he only threw the ball six times. He only threw 18 passes in the national championship. They handed the ball off like 30 times in that game. Why weren't they throwing the ball 30 times and rushing six times? You know, why couldn't he have been the guy to lead that offense? And who's to say that he couldn't have been? They just had a lot of talent elsewhere in that backfield and on that offensive line. Maybe at the NFL level, he could be a better player than he was in college. Sometimes that happens. Other times it doesn't. It's really just about the right situation. And I think that's where you kind of need to sit down and say, are the New York Giants the right situation for J.J. McCarthy to reach his potential? Because you have to admit, the potential is there. He's 21. He never loses games. I mean, if you look at his collegiate history, everything about it, he rarely loses football games, and he plays at a very high level in pretty much every single one of those games. So is J.J. McCarthy stepping into the right situation, though? Because Michigan, that's a pretty great situation. You had an elite rushing attack to hand the ball off to, you had a great offensive line in front of you, and a stifling defense on the other side of the ball. That was a perfect situation for J.J. Could the Giants be that? Their offensive line? Subpar, questionable, major question mark. They don't have any playmakers right now. The one big selling point here for the New York Giants and J.J. McCarthy to be a perfect marriage, Brian Daboll, his ability to develop quarterbacks. And there are actually comparisons that you can draw between J.J. McCarthy and Josh Allen, the other superstar quarterback that Brian Daboll developed. Josh Allen only had, I think, three games in his collegiate career where he threw for 300 or more yards. J.J. McCarthy only has two. Josh Allen also handed the ball off and ran the ball a lot himself, didn't really throw at a high volume or for a lot of yardage in most of his career games. J.J. McCarthy, same thing, didn't throw high volume passing attacks. But Josh Allen had the tools and the traits, and Brian Daboll found a way to extrapolate on them and make him a better player than what he was in college. Could he do the same thing with J.J. McCarthy is the question. And the reason why, if the Giants were to trade up and make this pick, I would be okay with it is because I do believe Brian Daboll's judgment. I think it's better than my own. I think it's better than all of ours. He has been in the NFL for a long time coaching quarterbacks. So if Brian Daboll signs off on it, the Giants trade up, draft J.J. McCarthy, I'll sign off on it. I'll be like, okay, I see the vision and I believe in Brian Daboll. Now, that's not to say that Brian Daboll can just turn water to wine here and could just make anybody a superstar, but you do have to hope and believe that the Giants have the right head coach in place, and if he has his belief and he's ready to place it on J.J. McCarthy, put his job on the line basically for J.J. McCarthy, then I got to step behind them and say, hey, I'm okay with this, and I support the decision, and I will root for J.J. McCarthy. It's a little bit different from back in 2019, right? Because we hear this a lot, Alex. We hear a lot of the Giants are going to reach on a quarterback who's not that talented like they did with Daniel Jones back then. We've heard that before. But he was getting drafted by Dave Gettleman, Pat Shurmur into a terrible roster. It's a little bit different for me than drafting J.J. McCarthy, who didn't play in the ACC for Duke, played and won a national championship for Michigan. That's a big difference to me. Beat some of the best teams in college. And is drafted by Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. I think there's a big difference between that. I don't think it's similar to when the Giants drafted Daniel Jones at number 6. And just because he's the fourth quarterback taken in this draft class doesn't mean he's going to be the fourth best. How often do we see the fourth quarterback taken become the best, right? It's happened before. It's not that rare. How about Lamar Jackson going 32nd overall in that draft class? How about Josh Allen being the third quarterback off the board in that draft class? Sometimes the best player is not drafted first. Maybe they're drafted last. Brock Purdy. There are definitely examples that you can look to, and I don't think that you just have to say, hey, because he's drafted here, he's not going to be as good as these other guys. The potential is there, and it's really about getting drafted into the right situation. And again, that brings me back to the Giants situation. You love what you have with Brian Daboll. However, with McCarthy, who does have a relative lack of experience to these other quarterbacks leading a high-flying passing attack, you do have to feel a little bit uneasy about the fact that the Giants don't have a playmaker. They don't have an elite game-changing playmaker and don't have a great offensive line to put in front of J.J. McCarthy. How well does he adjust at the next level? I think that you could argue, if you want to talk situations, and McCarthy goes to the Minnesota Vikings, throwing the Justin Jefferson, having Kevin O'Connell coaching him, great offensive line. Like, that's a perfect situation, but that's the question mark for the Giants. Can they build the right situation around J.J. McCarthy that allows Brian Daboll to extrapolate on his talent and help him reach his potential? That's really, like, my full take on the J.J. McCarthy decision, whether or not the Giants draft him. I will support it, and I do believe in it, and I do think you can make an argument that he is a top 10 talent in this draft class. He makes some great throws. Turn on the tape against Michigan State University and watch the throws that he was making in that game. He looked like an NFL quarterback, but then you could turn on the Penn State game, watch that tape, and you'll see somebody who was really rattled by pressure and did not play at even a backup quarterback level in the NFL. So it's a wide range, it's a wide spectrum of games that you can look at with J.J. McCarthy. Maybe you fall in love with his tape. Maybe you are in disgust with his tape. It's really tough to tell. But Alex, how do you feel about that kind of conversation that I was making where it's really about the situation? And maybe the Giants do. Maybe they don't have the best situation for him. I think you could argue it in kind of both ways. So how do you feel about that situation, of course, being what might ultimately determine whether or not a prospect pans out in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, look, I honestly don't think that the Giants are a really bad situation for a rookie quarterback at all. And the reason being is they just invested a ton of resources into their offensive line over the last 2 or 3 years. And apologies for these sirens. I feel like every episode there is something going on. Someone's doing something crazy. There's a fire everywhere. But you know what? And the weather gets nice. Everyone freaks out for some reason. But looking at this Giant situation, think about the last 4 years. We've allocated two top 10 picks, actually, on offensive tackles. We've allocated a second-round pick on John Michael Schmitz. We've allocated multiple mid-round selections on depth pieces. We've allocated financial resources now towards the offensive line, $10 million per season towards John Runyon, and another $7 million towards Jermaine Illuminor. I think the offensive line is going to take a big step forward. In fact, they don't have a choice. If they do, it's once again, we're talking about, are we going to fire our head coach and GM? Are we going to fire them? Because, like, our offensive line, again, they can't piece it together. John Meyer is going to be losing his mind if they don't have a better performance this year. He already said it was embarrassing. Joe Shane called it embarrassing. You can't even run a play when your quarterback's on their butt every single play. So that's paramount to me. I think they are going to take a big step forward. With that being said, offensive line performance is probably one of the most important variables to developing a young quarterback. Why? Because you can eliminate a lot of bad habits they immediately would get otherwise. Think about Daniel Jones. Rush decision making, having to leave the pocket, you know, happy feet, turnover prone. All of those were a result of bad offensive line performance, and it just compounded from there. So, yes, I think that this is not going to be as bad of a situation. Also, we have some decent playmakers. I think, you know, you look at Wandale Robinson. If Darren Waller doesn't retire, you know, you look at Jalen Hyatt, you know, you look at Darius Slayton, some decent players. And that's just the start, right? Hopefully you still have our second round pick we can use on a Keon Coleman or a Ricky Pearsall or a Xavier Leggett. Like, there are going to be players at 47, maybe even move up to the top of the second round and, you know, try to get a better player there. Like, maybe that's something the Giants would consider doing. So with that being said, this is not just about 2024. This is about 2025 and beyond, because you have more time, you have more resources, you have more capital. So if you move up to four and you only give up a two next year and a three this year, and you maintain your 2025 first round pick, you have a premium selection to go get the best receiver in the draft class next year, or spend your second round pick this year on it. And you have opportunity, you have flexibility. So yeah, there's a lot of benefits to drafting a quarterback. Our roster is exponentially better than the Panthers' roster, in my opinion. We have linchpin pieces on the offensive line. We have linchpin pieces on defense. We have tons of youth. We may have one of the youngest rosters in the league right now after this upcoming draft class, not to mention, you know, a lot of financial freedom after Daniel Jones is gone. So I kind of feel as though this team is in a pretty good spot to spend, pretty good spot in terms of draft capital. You take the risk, you take the gamble, you be aggressive now because you can. But other years, you may not be so lucky. You may not be so fortunate. Think about 2 years ago. If the Giants wanted a quarterback, it would have been impossible. Mainly because, you know, we were drafting poorly. Our coaching was horrible. Our offensive line was going nowhere. Our defense was spotty. Now, at least we have some sort of, like, foundation. You got Andrew Thomas, Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, Deontay Banks. You know, you have some really good pieces on this team. It's time to build on top of them. Are we really going to waste it? Are we going to waste it away and stop building? This team is young. Dexter Lawrence is young. Kayvon Thibodeau is 22 years old. You have years, 5-6 years of a sample size right now. Think about it like this. Jalen Hurts is just entering his contract, right? He's just starting to get into his contract. These younger quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, just hitting his contract. Josh Allen, just hitting his contract. Now those teams are going to be strapped at trying to improve their rosters because of that financial hit they're going to take. It is in the Giants' best interest right now to reset that rookie window. They have all these great players locked down on contracts. They'll have more financial freedom in the future. If it means drafting J.J. McCarthy, it's not my preference, but I think I still support it because you have to do it. You have to. Like, I know it's taking a risk, but the risk reward of not taking the quarterback is exponentially worse than if you pass on it. You know what I mean? Like, look, this is the perfect example. Everyone says, if you draft Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr., who's throwing him the ball? You know, the Jets are, every year, one of the worst teams in football. Why? They don't have a freaking quarterback, right? Now they do with Aaron Rodgers coming back. You want to see what an elite defense and an elite Garrett Wilson does for you when you don't have a quarterback? Zero. No playoffs. Nothing. Failure. Why do people think Malik Nabers is going to turn this team into a superstar caliber offense that's going to be high octane and championship winning? It's complete BS. It's a facade that people convince themselves because they don't like the quarterback. You have to take the risk. I don't want J.J. McCarthy at four. That's not my preference. I wish we could get Drake May, but you have to take the gamble because going and getting Malik Nabers or Romo Odunze and Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't win you a Super Bowl. You still have to figure out the quarterback position. And the draft class next year is weak. The free agency class is weak. We don't know what the future looks like there, and all of our linchpin pieces are just getting older. So yeah, I support taking J.J. McCarthy at four because I don't see another way out. You know, I don't see another alternative, and I'm willing to take the shot on Brian Daboll, not J.J. McCarthy. Let me say that one more time. I'm willing to take the chance that Brian Daboll could develop a quarterback with great traits than just investing my logic and my persona into drafting J.J. McCarthy. It's not about McCarthy for me. It's about the fact that we hire Brian Daboll to coach a quarterback, to maximize talent. That is why he is here. If we're not going to let him do that, what are we doing? We're just waiting for them to get fired. You know what I mean? Because Daniel Jones isn't returning from an ACL tear and leading us to a Super Bowl. It's not happening. If he makes it to the playoffs, it still doesn't matter because he's not going to beat Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. He's not going to beat Josh Allen. He's not going to beat these better quarterbacks. He's not going to beat Lamar Jackson in the playoffs. Like, it's not going to happen. We got wiped by the Philadelphia Eagles 2 years ago. I don't see how we walk away without a quarterback in this draft class. The only alternative I'll say, Anthony, is this. If the Giants end up getting Neighbors or Marvin Harrison Jr. and like get somehow luck into Michael Penix in the second round or trade back into the first round, the top end of the first round, I could get behind it. But I still don't think taking a gamble on a second round quarterback is great practice. I think it's bad practice, in fact. So with that being said, I'm willing to take the shot on J.J. McCarthy because in my eyes, it's the only way out of this mess. It's the only way out of, you know, awful financial situation. It's the only way out of being strapped by Daniel Jones's contract. I don't see another option, personally. If I did, I would let you guys know. I would tell you right here. But I'm going to reinforce this and say, I want Drake May. I want Jaden Daniels, if possible. But the last resort being J.J. McCarthy, it sucks. I don't like it. It's not my preference, but I'm willing to bet on Brian Daboll. That's what I'll say.
I think that's a fair take to say that you're going to bet on Brian Daboll in that regard. I just personally like J.J. McCarthy. I'm willing to bet on him. I really am. I think that there's a lot to his game, and I really encourage fans who don't see that to dive a little bit deeper. Maybe watch some film breakdowns. Those are usually good at showing you the pros and the cons. You know, dive deeper and take a look at his All-22 film, the throws that he made on a down-to-down basis, not just the highlights, right? I think that there's a lot to like with J.J. McCarthy if you really do dive into him deeper and maybe take a look at advanced stats and analytics that point and say, hey, this guy really did play like a pro during his time with Michigan. But I also do agree with you. You got to bet on Brian Daboll here. I mean, listen, this is his team. This is his show. If this is what he wants to do, you got to sign off on it. And if he crashes and burns from this, all right, well, then the Giants are probably going to have a top 10 pick next year anyway. They'll probably draft a new quarterback and just trade J.J. McCarthy like the Arizona Cardinals did after they drafted Josh Rosen. Crashed and burned after a year, traded him away, drafted Kyler Murray, moved on. They have a franchise quarterback. So you got to keep that in mind. This is one decision that the Giants can make. It doesn't have to set them back years and years if they are proactive about it and they cut loose with the guy sooner rather than later. One thing that I will say, if the Giants were to draft J.J. McCarthy, you already know what would happen, right? The NFL media is going to make a big joke out of it. They're going to make fun of the Giants. We've seen this story before, but you also have to keep in mind that did happen with the Buffalo Bills when they drafted Josh Allen. There were a lot of critics of that pick. That was not a favorable pick in the moment. It's kind of tough because the hindsight's always 20/20. Looks like it was a home run selection now. At the time, yeah, but best believe that there were tons of outlets that were criticizing the Bills and saying you took the third or fourth or fifth best quarterback in the draft class. Josh Allen was not the right selection. He was. He was the right selection in that draft, and the Bills hit that one out of the park. And I think that Joe Shane mentioned that recently in an interview and said, hey, when we drafted Josh Allen, it was not something that was met with open arms, but we made it work, and he ended up being a superstar. Maybe J.J. McCarthy is the same thing. You got to keep your mind open to that possibility. And hey, maybe he is Zach Wilson 2.0. Maybe he does become a bust within 2 years. Totally possible, but you got to take the risk. I agree with those points that you made there, Alex. Got to take the risk and bet on Brian Daboll and hope that he gets this one right. Because if he doesn't, what are the Giants going to do financially? You can't really continue with Daniel Jones on this contract without having some sort of a backup plan. And why would you want to have a backup plan on a second tier, like third-rate quarterback from the second, third, fourth round? If you want to take like a Rattler in round three, why would you want that to be your backup plan as opposed to this kid, J.J. McCarthy, who there are a lot of people in the draft or in the league that view him as a top 10 prospect? If that's the case, that's a much better backup plan than a Spencer Rattler for the Daniel Jones situation. And hey, listen, like you said, in this trade that Peter Schrager projected, they kept their second-round pick. That second-round pick could be maybe Adonai Mitchell. Who knows? Maybe Ladd McConkey falls out far. Could be Xavier Leggett, who you guys know I'm a huge fan of. Giants could get their playmaker in round two. If you look at the hit rate on round two wide receivers, it's very high. A lot of great wide receivers have come out of the second round in recent seasons. Just go ahead, look at the draft history, and you'll find a ton of talent from that second round. So the Giants want to get a playmaker. Drafted J.J. McCarthy at six or at four and trading up a couple spots for him, it doesn't prevent them from getting a playmaker. But trading up to three for Drake May, which again, the option that I favor, However, if they do that, they're probably not going to be able to land a playmaker in the second round because I doubt they're keeping their second round pick if they move up to three. It's a lot cheaper to move up to four and take the number four quarterback in the draft than it is to move up to three and take the Drake May if that's who is probably going to be on the board at that selection. But then again, it just comes down to who do the Giants like more? Who does Brian Daboll favor? Does he prefer Drake May? Does he prefer JJ McCarthy? Does he prefer them about the same? Does he think they're on the same level? If that's the case, why would you trade up more to get a guy that you think is the same talent level as another guy? So it's just going to be a nuanced conversation that's going to happen in the draft room for the New York Giants. And we won't be in there. Man, what I would do to be a fly on the wall. But afterwards, when we get all that footage, the behind-the-scenes footage that the Giants have, if they do make that trade and they show some of that footage, that's going to be really fun stuff to watch. It's going to be really exciting. And that's why I love the NFL draft so much. So random, so intense, so many conversations, so much controversy. This is like the best event. You know, it's one of the best events in the NFL. And again, we're only 9 days, McCarthy days away, and I'm really excited for that. So, my take on it, I think JJ McCarthy is worthy of the selection just because I really value taking a chance on a quarterback on a rookie contract. Again, I don't think that he is a top 10 talent, but I could see the top 10 upside. So I'm willing to take the chance on it, marrying him with Brian Daboll and hoping that they could strike gold once again like they did with Josh Allen, which I do recognize is easier said than done. But ultimately, I think it would be a solid selection. If the Giants don't do that, they stick a pick at six and take Malik Nabers. Guys, I'm going to be excited about that too. And if JJ McCarthy is a bust, you guys can all tell me I told you so, and I will take it on the chin. I'm willing to bet that he's going to be a good player, though. I really do think that. But Alex, any closing thoughts on the potential JJ McCarthy trade, really Peter Schrager making this mock trade? I think, again, that's really notable that it was Schrager making this mock. We've heard this now. I'll actually give you the rundown before I hand it back to you, Alex. We heard Schrager now say that he thinks that JJ McCarthy is the guy that they would trade up for. We've heard Connor Hughes of SNY say that there's buzz around the league that JJ McCarthy is the guy that the Giants like. And Ryan Dunleavy of the New York Post earlier this week said his sourced belief is that the Giants are targeting JJ McCarthy. So a lot of traction there. I think we've heard this rumor more than we've heard the others. But then again, we have heard a lot of rumors. We have heard that they love Drake May. We have heard that they love James Daniels. It's smokescreen season, right, Alex?
Certainly is. And you know what? let me play devil's advocate here and say maybe the Giants want everyone to think that they're super high on JJ McCarthy because of how great Brian Daboll is. He's known across the league, like players, coaches, they all think that he's a quarterback guru. And if they think that he thinks JJ McCarthy is the guy, maybe he'll go a little bit higher than people expect. Maybe that the Giants are trying to push the JJ narrative because they're trying to get a guy like Drake May to fall. Maybe they're trying to get the Patriots to think, like, maybe you got to think twice. You know, New England, think about their offense. Think about where Gerard Mayo's coming from in a Belichick system. They love quarterbacks who just do all the fine details extremely well. The nitty-gritties, the everything, the small things, they do it perfectly. That's JJ McCarthy. Drake May's a little bit different. He's a gunslinger. He wants to get the ball out and he wants to take risks. That's what Brian Daboll loves. You know what I mean? That's what he loved in Josh Allen. So why would he not love that, especially the dual threat? I'm not saying that JJ isn't athletic, but, you know, May had, what, almost 600 rushing yards and 9 touchdowns last year on the ground. You know, you're talking about a different element here. I think that the Giants, if there's a situation where they have to give up more to move up to three and New England's willing to pull the trigger, maybe they will. You know, how about this? What if the Giants moved up to four and then decided that they wanted to move? Then the Patriots were split decision on May and JJ McCarthy. And the Giants were like, hey, we'll move up and give you draft capital just to get our the guy that we want. You know what I mean? That way they still get their quarterback if they have a split decision and they get some more draft capital. You never know. The Giants are going to be aggressive, man. I feel Joe Shane is working something, man. We already just heard today Albert Breer told, you know, ESPN, Jordan Ronan, that the Giants have inquired about moving up. I mean, come on. Like, they've literally asked about it. I knew they were going to do it anyway. They were going to see what it was going to take. Like, we knew this is nothing, like, mind-blowing. But the fact that they did indicates that they are legitimately considering a quarterback, which I think is generally known. That's, you know, nothing surprising. But, you know, sitting here right now, and I think that Joe Shane's got something on his sleeve, man. The guy works like the Gene Lasagna, you know, pulled from Lil Wayne. So I kind of feel like we're going to see something crazy here. I think this is going to be a really exciting draft. Are we going to be happy? Hopefully. Are we going to be upset? Probably. Are we going to be feuding? Absolutely. No matter who the Giants take, how much draft capital we give up, shit is gonna be talked. And I think it's gonna, that's the best part of it, man. We're here to watch sports. We're here to have fun. I love you guys. Love your opinions. This is why we do it. It's all fun and games. At the end of the day, it's just football. So we appreciate everyone's feedback and conversation as always.
100%. And what you're saying there, going back and forth, feuding, debating, that's what I can't wait for that upcoming draft live stream for. I mean, if the Giants make a pick that I don't like, I'll let him know. I'll rip into it. Maybe you and I will go back and forth. Maybe you like the pick. Hey, I can tell you one thing, though. If they draft an offensive tackle at number 6, I think both you and I are going to be really upset and letting it fly on that stream. But hey, it's going to be a lot of fun. So guys, definitely stay tuned and tune in to that live stream. Tune in to the 20K sub special that's coming out this upcoming weekend. We're going to start promoting it this week, and we're going to let you know what it's going to entail. And trust me, guys, it's exciting. A lot of special guests on the docket. I think you're going to have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy what we have cooking up here. And we're really excited to deliver that to you guys. And also stay tuned for that live stream, because we're going to be hyped in that draft room on draft night in that live stream. We're going to be having a lot of fun with you guys and really just can't wait to see you all turn out for that one. But that pretty much wraps this one up. Make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss the episode. Comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go Giants.